Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Breakfast Beat with myself, Yasin Kippi. And I think we're having some trouble getting our next guest on the line. But of course, we will be joined in the studio by one of my colleagues, Dhakira Desai. And we were going to speak to Alan Jainuddin from the South African Tour Operators Association, SATOA, about the latest in the Al-Mujahideen saga. Of course, they had allegedly or, you know, apparently met on Saturday. Let's just get some of the latest, perhaps, from Dhakira, who's been following this story quite extensively. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dhakira.
Wa alaikum salam, Yasin. It's been an eventful weekend, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, whether it's the water wadis or whether it's the Umrah issue, you know, there's never something, you know, that we can't focus on. But I believe Adam Jainuddin is now with us, joining us, and we're definitely privileged to be able to speak to him this morning. Assalamu alaikum to you, Mr. Jainuddin.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are things and how are you doing?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. I'm in Johannesburg attending family functions as far as weddings and...
Yes.
No. Friends, yeah.
What I'm asking is because, of course, as chairperson of SATOA, this is another, you know, big issue, and of course we hope that you are doing well personally as well. Let's talk about the latest in you know, the issue. We believe that SATOA had engaged both the Mu'tamirin as well as the operator on Saturday. What came out of that?
Yeah, as I just alluded, the fact that I'm not, you know, I was not able to attend the actual meeting myself. I asked the executive to be present, and Muhsin Sheikh, our Secretary General, attended the meeting, and he did obviously try and find some means, you know, to progress with the two items that the last time we met with Al-Mujahideen, in the context that there was a benefactor that was mentioned, mm-hmm. that was going to come to the rescue of Al-Mujahideen in the context of some funding, and the fact that Ishaq Qasim, the owner of Al-Mujahideen, mentioned that he was to engage the acquiring, you know, an agent to look at selling the family house, as he mentioned.
Yes, of course, and which is a very sad thing, of course. In terms of the benefactor, has that come through? And there's a lot of, you know, reports about the actual amount of the number of monies that is indebted. Can you confirm if it's around 324,000 rand?
According to, I don't have the actual record in front of me, it might just be slightly more than, I can't quote you directly, but yeah. It is more than that, you know, in that, you know, if I look at the, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I can reconfirm that at another time, but it is in excess of that, yeah.
And so what is the sentiment, at least, that you got from your SG about the or the feelings of the Mu'tamirin themselves? Are they happy, or are there some who are, you know, threatening legal recourse?
Yeah. Look, he did mention that the meeting did not obviously went well, in the context that people's emotions now, I think, you know, has become volatile, in the context that they no longer are patient. They no longer want to hear about any stories about benefactors and I'm still going to sell my house and this stuff. They want to see action. They want to see that there is a meaningful way that the man actually, you know, start making progress towards, you know, coming to some form of a definite arrangement. It would appear that and I mean, this has been now since this incident has started, that Mr. Ishaq Qasim has been giving people, you know, hope of getting funding, selling homes, selling assets, and all sorts of, you know, things that I think, you know, by now We as Satova has now come to a conclusion that I think people have now come and have exhausted the avenues of patience, exhausted the avenues of being humbled by the way of dealing, and I think it's time people now need to realize that they have to now, the only means that they can is to go to and find some legal means to acquire or sue for damages, and I think that basically is where these people have become very, very abusive, as I heard in the meeting. And I don't think, want to get to a situation that there's some form of violence or that people, are being attacked. Because I think that is very much not, Islamic in the context. People have become very, very, very cross because, there's people that owed one person specific his amount in excess of 100,000 rand. So understand, people, when they find that there is no means, that there is any certainty in what they would believe would be forthcoming in, unfortunately. I think these emotions and stuff have up here.
Now, according to the Mutamirin that we spoke to, attended Saturday's meeting, they are still maintaining the fact that, nothing concrete came out of the meeting, and they are really unsure when or if they will, in fact, be getting the monies. Just a question about whether Sotoa was aware of Mr. Kasim's financial well-being prior to the situation, because we know that he left Sotoa months ago.
Look, we don't have specifics in the context of what, a company's, they don't disclose to Sotoa, what the specifics are. As far as that was general knowledge in the context of the fact that the organization was no longer allowed to trade as a Hajj operator, as Saug had not, accredited it in the last 2 years.
Yes.
The fact that there were monies that was owed to hotels in Makkah, and that we investigated in the context, and yes, as I earlier said, we don't specifically do audits on companies in terms of the financial welding, but basically that was brought to our knowledge in full, and we approached the member and he produced letters to the effect that he had made arrangements to pay these off to the suppliers of the hotels and therefore we deemed that he has made the appropriate arrangements and that that was taking place, and hence we did not have much of a suspicion that the man was going to be in a dire financial situation there.
Now, just in terms of, one of the, I don't know what you think of Sauk, chairperson, Western Cape chairperson, Shukriyat Fatasi, that they would love, or at least they would recommend that the Umrah operators also be licensed under Sauk. Sauk definitely didn't give Al-Mujahideen, accreditation for the Hajj. Shouldn't Sotoa have known that, and shouldn't financials be transparent within, under this, the body of Sotoa?
Currently, the the membership of Sotoa, and currently doesn't require any of those kind of financial and operational requirements in terms of where we actually ask people to support send on an annual basis documents relating to their financial status. There's definitely something that we as an organization will be looking at in terms of making sure, and I've mentioned in prior interviews the fact that we need to start looking at the financial well-being of a company in terms of its financial capability and its operational capabilities in the context of where, often companies do go through structural changes, ownerships, and this kind of stuff. So definitely there is, among the members, a concerted effort that we will be going through to see how we can most probably base our requirements for companies to belong to Sotoa, that they are annually scrutinized for the purpose of making sure that they are, you know, in a good space as far as the ability to service the industry. Yeah.
Now, we've been getting talk and reports that Al-Mujahideen is trading under a new name. I know that's quite far off, but can you comment on that?
I have no knowledge of that. I haven't myself been able to establish that. So if it is such, then we must probably have to investigate that. Since we don't want to preclude any person in South Africa in terms of usability to trade, but within the Umara space, I think we definitely would, as an organization, as Setova, would like to, you know, encourage people to join Setova so that we can have, you know, some form of means of, you know, we would, under a code of conduct, be able to ensure that members are compliant and that we don't fall within, you know, a situation that people just go out there, just as we do know, there are quite a number of Umrah operators that does it, you know, without belonging to any association, not IHATA, registered, and basically just run it from their homes or from businesses that they have, as they might be in another travel type of industry where they're offering leisure, and Umrah just becomes another means for them to also offer to the market.
And just in conclusion, I just want to ask this question because you know, many people have said, you know, how can we trust it after this? Because you know, Al-Mujahideen, it was known to be, especially Sauk didn't credit them. What is your comment to the listeners who feel that they can no longer trust whether Setova will provide them, you know, people, or at least those under Setova are actually reliable? And some people are actually saying that Setova is protecting Al-Mujahideen in this.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. People have made those allegations. Even personally, they've said it on WhatsApp messages to myself. Having got hold, obviously, as I made myself available throughout this incident, to see that I can find a meaningful way to assist them with coming in. I mean, I can tell you there's 18 people that would today, if you ask them, you know, what did I do this personally, and myself as president, with the mandate that I've received from my fellow members in Setova, to make sure that at least these people engage on the journey of Umrah. I spent many hours, late hours of the morning, to ensure that these people at least, yes, albeit they had paid for the flight, but they did at least, where they would have lost, you know, the full ability to have gone for an Umrah. I mean, these people were able to go. And I think, you know, our intention and the members working for Setova, I mean, are people that is of integrity, people that risk, you know, the resources in the context of engaging.
Absolutely.
I don't think any specific company currently that we have in Setova are specifically set themselves up there to do people in.
Okay.
They are very well run. Yes. Companies that has very good reputation.
Yes, absolutely. Mr. Jonathan, we'll have to end it there. We'll have to end it there, but we definitely get your sentiment. Setova is still to be trusted, according to you. But we have to end it there. Setova Chairman Adam Jainuddin, giving us the latest on the debacle. We open the lines now. You can call us on 021-442-3530. Of course, you can also add your contribution on WhatsApp on 072-238-0712. But we have Rukeya Hendricks on the line now, and she's one of the Mu'tamireen who had booked with Al-Mujahideen, and she was at the meeting on Saturday. Assalamu alaikum to you, Rukeya.
Alaikum salam, Yasin.
Tell us about your feelings, you know, at the meeting and after the meeting. Are things much the same, or have things actually changed?
No, things are much the same. And I was listening to Mr. Jainuddin now. I mean, if he had to attend the meeting, he set the meeting up. He sent somebody out in his place saying he's got a prior family gathering. But the thing is, he set the meeting up. It was so disappointing. because we were liaising with him, and he sent somebody else. And the person that he sent was just sitting there, not even taking notes. It was just so disappointing, and we're still where we were since the day we left.
What do you want must come out of this? Have any monies been paid, or do you feel like the monies are not going to be paid?
No monies has been paid. Mr. Ishaq Singh is saying that he's waiting for a sponsor. We asked him, I asked him, what did you do with our money? Show us in your bank statement what you did with our money. And he's saying he doesn't have to show us that. I mean, if you cannot say you have operational things. Operational things, what operational things? It's plain and simple. We paid you money. You to pay it to the airline or wherever. So what operational things? How do you run your business? And then Mr. Janarin says, at least the Mutamirin got to go and all of that. But under what conditions? And I mean, we were told 2 days before we flew that we're not flying. Mm. What type of business is that? We had to go ourselves onto the internet. He was sitting there. This Ishaq Kasim was sitting there. I'm saying to him, get onto your computer, book us new tickets. He's sitting there like somebody is in a trance. Mm. We had to go onto the internet ourselves, book our tickets. We paid 5,000 more per ticket. So, where is that? We 10 people. Where is that 144,000 going to come from?
And so that's how much you are owed, a person in your family, 144,000.
That is how much we were owed. Mm-hmm. Our tickets originally was 98,000.
Yeah.
It is the second lot that we bought came to 144,000. I mean, he tells us an hour and a half after Emirates gave him a deadline to say that they're cancelling the tickets. I mean, who does that? Why didn't he phone us to say Emirates is going to cancel the tickets? We phoned Emirates. They said they could have detached us from the group, and then we could have still paid that 98,000 and still have our tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You wait till the last minute to tell us all of this, and then we get to the meeting. We're still at the same place that we were at before we left, which is he's waiting for the sponsor, or he's spoken to his son-in-law, he's spoken to his son, he's spoken to his family, and the last resort is to sell the house. I mean, come on. The last resort, that is your first resort. It's not small money we're talking about here. It's a lot of money. There was people in the meeting, they were crying. This one lady said she cried for a whole week. It was her husband and her 3 sons that had to go. Cried for a whole week. I mean, really, man, these people sweat and tears, and we worked so hard for that money to go. And under what conditions? He had part of our Umrah. I mean, we were supposed to fly the 25th, come back the 7th. We had to rebook our tickets, come back the 11th, book for extra 3 days at the hotel. And yeah. I mean, come on.
And of course,
hotels is expensive.
Yes, of course. And according to you, of course, Sato is not really doing anything about this. But are you going to take legal recourse or action?
That is the only way that I see out. Because we're getting dates. Can we pay you off? I mean, when we paid our money, we didn't say, can we pay you off? We had to give our money just like that. And for Satawa, this is my personal thing. If they can do it for the Hajj, where they say if you muck up with the Mutamirin or the Hujaj, and over there you have a problem, they can sort you out, because whoever gets your visa for you, they are liable. So this is my thing with Satawa. I said to the gentleman that was there, why can't you do it for the Umrah? Why can't you put something in place where whoever issues the visas, that they are liable for if there's any markup?
Well, we certainly wish you all the best, and we'll keep updated with you. That's Rukeya Hendricks. Shukran very much for talking to us about the latest on the debacle with Al Mujahideen.
That's fine.
Okay, let's go for some